As we begin Hilchshtreves, today's topic is Sirchus Hareya, the Sirchus that are found in the lungs. First we have to do a little bit of structure and terminology, just understand how different things work. The lung of a kosher mammal has seven major lobes, we're going to use the following lung marking card. This is how Boitkim, we'll learn about the Boitkim next time, but in this time, this is the card that the Boitkim use in the slaughterhouse to mark off which animals are, where things were found on the animal, on the lungs. The card is reversed, which is to say the right and the left are backwards, because this way you could show one of the things that only shows up on one side of the animal. We'll get to that. So we'll use this card just as a little direction. An animal has it has seven lobes to it. Two larger ones that are on the bottom, that are in our picture, that are on the bottom, they're called umois. And are the numbered 1 and 7, if you just see the little markings put on them, the umois. And then there are five of the larger unois. Unois are the smaller lobes. And three of those unois are on the right side, and two are on the left side. So the two on the left side has two, and it also has the heart also. Okay, but anyhow, the three on the right side, starting from near the umma, so the one that we marked as number 2, the one at the bottom is called the Aruchu Ktsara. Okay, the names are sort of descriptive. It's long and skinny. Then there's a small one right above it, which we have marked as number 3, called Una and Zeris, the middle one. And then number 4 is one that stretches up really high. It's called the Mispatelis. So those are the three unas that are on the right side. Now, on the left side, we have two unas. The upper one is called the una eliyana, not very original, the upper una, and the lower one is called the meshucha chachetz. It's stretched out like an arrow, just goes again because of its shape, and then of course below it is the left uma, the large one on the bottom. Now in the middle, right in the center of the lungs, is a very small lobe, which is called Ilunisa de Varda, which is the Varda. It's called that because it looks like a rose, like the word Varad in Hebrew, looks like a rose. And it has a membrane around it, which is called the Kisa Varda, like a case around it. The card is shown backwards over here is because this way you can show the Varda. If you have the card the right way with the right on and the left and each on the right side, you wouldn't see the Varda. So they need to, in order to show the Varda, they should have the card is created backwards. So those are the seven, those are the two main lobes, the five smaller lobes, and then the really little one in the middle, which is called the Varda. Okay, coming out of the very top of the picture, you see the bottom of the cunna, the trachea, or also known as the gargaris. When the cunna comes into the lungs, it branches out into different smaller and smaller bronchial tubes, and those are called eruka. Okay, now there's some other little parts I'll just mention. In the lobes themselves, the place where a lobe comes in contact with the next one is called the chituch, the place where they're cut, as if where they're cut. The part of the lobe that faces the lung, that faces the spine, is called the gav, which is the back, and the bottom is called the kam, is the front, and faces towards the belly, towards the floor. And then there's other parts called the chod and the shipuli, not so relevant for us for right now. Okay, so I mentioned already that there's a right and a left. We talked about a right and a left. Just for orienting ourselves, is right and left. Whenever anyone speaks about these kind of things, right and left, right means the right side of the animal as it would be walking, its own right side, and that right side is also the side that the person sees when he sees an animal in the slaughterhouse after shechita, because the animal hangs by its hind legs with its belly facing the person who's doing the work on it. So the right side, the human's right side, is also the same side that would be the animal's right side. So that's called right. And all these kinds of things, right and left, refer to that. Okay, now move on to the surface of the lungs. So the Mishnah says there are 18 types of trachees. The Mishnah has 18. And then one of them is Hareish Nikla, a lung that has a hole inside of it. It has a puncture inside of it. And that makes the animal into a trachea. Like in many of the other trachea, are also ones that have holes in a certain organ, makes the animal into a trachea. Okay, and the Gemara says like this. That the Mishnah says. The Mishnah didn't say anything about what we call sirchus. The Mishnah talks about having a hole. The Gemara says like this. This is the one, two minds in the Gemara about having a sirchus. And the Gemara says the following: Hani tarti uni disrikin hadadi. If you have two unais that are stuck to each other, that are attached to each other. So again, remember the unais are the smaller ones on the top. These unais that are attached to each other, less little bidika. There's no way to check them and make the animal kosher. I mean, the animal is, no matter what, the animal is not kosher. We will talk about in a future time. In fact, there are things that we actually do about them. But the Gemara says, if there's shrikhim hadadi, less little bidika, there's nothing to do, the animal is not kosher. For loyamar, but this that we said, that the animal is considered a trefa, el shalokasidron, if they're shalokasidron, avokasidron, hainri busai, but if they're kasidron, then that's the normal way it goes, and then that's okay. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean? Okay, before I tell you what the word kasidra means, is, I should have mentioned this, the Gemara uses the word the shrikhim hadadi, that they're attached to each other. And the simple, from this reading of the Gemara, the simple reading is that what we call a sircha means like the mucus that holds together pieces in the lung, that like sort of strings in between one piece of the lung and the next. We call those a sircha. The simple reading would be, is that that's just a play on these words, like yes or ruach, I'll see there, Mishkan, that they're connected or they're attached. So we use the word sircha as we turn that word into a noun, and to say it's a sircha, it's like a thing, a stringy, mucusy type thing that attaches to each other. Okay, we'll see, that may not be so clear. It may actually be, the Gemara may actually use that word, but from this Gemara, the Gemara doesn't use that word, and the Gemara just, they say they are attached to each other. Okay, what does it mean that there's kisidron or shalikisidron? So Rashi says this, what it means is, kisidron means is that if the attachment is between two lobes that are next to each other. Two lobes that are next to each other. For example, in our picture we had beforehand, if the mitzvatzaros, which was number four, is connected to the unem tzoros, to the middle one. Okay, so they're next to each other. Those are two lobes that are supposed to be next to each other. Then there's no problem. That's okay. Shalikasidra means is something is attached to one that's not supposed to be. Like for example, if our mitzvatzaros is connected to the ruchu tzoros. Okay, so those two are not next to each other. They're not naturally next to each other. If they're shruchim adadi, then they are. Then that's where the problem is. Okay, now, there are many details of what's considered kasidron, shalak is not kasidron. The truth is that Ashkenazim are machmir on just about everything, except if it's in a very specific part, which is the lower half of the chituch, that's what the Rambam says, but machmir about it. Those details are not so relevant to us. For now, we're just going to go with the simple reading of the Gemara, which is sort of what the Shulchan Aruch says, which is that if they're kasidron, then it's mutter, and shalak kasidron is also. So we need to understand, we have to talk about two different questions. What's wrong if the unas are shruchim hadadi? What's wrong if there's a sircha? Why do we care that there's a sircha there? Why does that cause any issue? Why should the animal be a shefa? And second is, if for some reason it does cause an issue, why is it only an issue if it's shalei kisidron? Why, if it's kisidron, is that okay? What's the difference between those two things? So, on the first question, what's wrong if you have a sircha? There are three main pshatim in the Mishnah. Okay? That I'm going to say them in the way out of order, just to help make it easier to get to our point. We're going to say that usually people say Rashi first, and then we're going to say Tosfos first. Tosfos says this, that a sircha is inherently, there would be nothing wrong with having a sircha. And in other parts of the body, it's okay if there's a sircha there. However, if there's a sircha on the lungs, that foretells to us that there's going to be a hole here eventually. Eventually, there will be a hole. Is going to form in this part of the lungs, and therefore we have a rule called limkav kenakuf dami. If it's going to get a hole in it, it's as if the hole is here already, and therefore there's no hole yet, but there's going to be a hole tomorrow or in the future, and therefore it's considered it's an example of a rea shenikva. It's a rea that has a hole in it because it doesn't have it yet, but it's going to have that hole. That's what Tosfos says. Rashi says no. If there's a sircha, it's a sign that there really is a hole underneath it. Sirchas develop from holes. If sirchas develop from holes, that this mucus that you're seeing, this something that's coming out of it, that's holding them together, it's leaked out of the lung from a hole. So if there's a hole there, then the animals, then the Gemara is just giving an example of what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said a rea shenikva, a rea that has a hole in it is a trefa, and the sircha is a sign that there's actually a hole underneath there. So on Rashi, we have a more significant question, which is, why is it that if it's kisidron, then it's not a problem? And Tosfos says it's a little easier to understand. Tosfos says it's certain kind of holes develop, certain kinds of sirchas develop in the holes, certain ones don't develop in the holes. So we can, somehow the Gemara is telling us that if it's considered it develops, it doesn't develop in the holes, and shalik considered it does become, it will eventually become a hole. But why point to Rashi? Rashi says holes, sirchas come because something's coming out of a lung. There is a hole there and it came out of here. What is the difference whether it's Kisidron or Shalik Kisidron? If this came out of a lung, what the glue that's holding them together, the mucus that's holding them together, came from a hole out of the lung, well then, it came from wherever it came from. What's the difference whether it attached to Kisidron or Shalik Kisidron? Why should that make a difference? See? So in that, there are four answers in the Rishonim to answer that question. Okay, what I'm saying now is the organization is based on the way Purim Kodem introduces the whole Siman Lama test. So there are four answers. Tosfos says, Tosfos, and the Rosh say similar answers, Tosfos says is that if sirchas that are kisidron are going to stay together, so there's not really a hole because the sirchas are going to stay in place because these pieces are supposed to be next to each other. That's what Tosfos says. Rosh is a little bit different, that when they're next to each other, then a scab will grow over, or a strong permanent scab will grow over, and therefore, this is not considered a hole. So there is, so to speak, a hole there. There's physically a hole there, but that hole in din is not considered a reish and nikva, either because Tosfos says it's going to stay in place, and that closes it up, or according to the Rosh, it's going to grow some kind of a scab that's going to also be a permanent close. Okay. The Rashi says that really what happens is the reason why, if it's considered according to Rashi, it's not a problem, is because the una that's next to it is going to keep it closed. And since that una is meant to stay here, it's going to hold it together. It's going to stay in its place. And the fact that there's the circle, the fact that they're attached to each other, actually is to its advantage, because it'll hold them together and keep them from separating. So again, we don't have a hole. And according to the Ran, a little bit like the Rosh, but he says, if the Sircha together with the Una together, with the Una that's next to it, that's going to close up the hole. Okay, so we had, according to Rashi, we had four ways to understand. But again, the main part of Rashi was that there already is a hole, and according to Tosfos, there was no hole, but there's going to be a hole. One Rishit is the Ravid, who says that in a normal case, what the Gemara called Ribusayu, sirchas develop between unas, that are close to each other, that are supposed to be next to each other, those develop without a hole. And shalik kisidron, those develop with a hole. So Rashi had said every sircha is a sign of a hole. So Rashi says, well, I'm a little bit different. Not that every sircha is a sign of a hole. Only certain sirchas are a sign of a hole. And the Gemara tells us which ones. The ones that are the way they're supposed to form, that are sruchim lahadadi, that are kisidron, those are not signs of a hole. And the other ones are a sign of a hole. Now, just for interesting is that this machlokes primarily between Rashi and Tosfos, is there a hole or is there not, or is it just going to be a hole? The right bit is a variation of Rashi, but Rashi and Tosfos, is there already a hole or is it going to be a hole? What is the sirchah? What's the problem? Is the basis of many, many discussions. We're going to say one of them a little bit later today. Many, many discussions in Poskim, all kinds of nafgaminas between them. I'll mention now two of them. The Primer Gadol says is, one nafgamina is, what happens if I know that there's a hole? Right, there's a sirchah there, and it's kisidron, and I know there's a hole. So according to Rashi, no problem. We're not surprised that there's a hole. Every sirchah is a sign of a hole. But if it's kisidron, then it's mutter. It's okay. It's not a problem. If it's kisidron, we're okay with the fact that there's a hole. Well, according to Tosfos, and according to the Ravid, if we knew there was actually a hole under there, then even if it was kisidron, it would be a trefa, because that would be a reish and nikva. According to Rashi, it's not reish and nikva. It's kisidron. That's okay. Another nafkamina would be about a sirchah tluya. That's a sirchah that's attached only on one side. That is to say, this mucus coming off of one side, one of the unais, or the umais, is in some place, but it's not attached to anything on the other side. It's not sruchim la'adad. There's nothing else that it's attached to. So according to Tosfos, the animal is kosher, because according to Tosfos, the reason why we think the sircha that's there will turn into a hole is because since it's shalik kisidron, so I should have said this before, since it's shalik kisidron, therefore the pulling of one on the other will rip off the sircha and create a hole. So we need the two lobes to be attached to each other in order to create that eventually, or to be worried that there's going to be a hole developed in the future. But if it's a sircha tluya, so that was the reason why in general we think it's going to turn into a hole. Well, if it's close, then it's not going to do that. There's nothing to pull. They're next to each other where they're supposed to be. So if it's a sircha tluya, it's the surface is attached on one end to the lobe, and on the other end it's just dangling. It's not attached to anything. It's not going to pull up. But according to Rashi and the Ravid, the Prima Gong says they would hold. Excuse me. The animal would be a chair. Okay. The animal would still be a chair. Okay. So we have these three sheikhs in Shemim. Primarily, most people just refer to them as two sheikhs in Shemim. Rashi says, Ravid is like a variation of Rashi. And lots of nafkamins that these come up. Okay. So now we understand at least why Sircha in a lung would be a chair for it. It's some type of reish nikva. Either it's a sign there's already a hole, Rashi, or the sign is going to be a hole, and that's enough to cause a problem, according to Tosfos. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. The Mishnah, I said, mentioned, listed 18 types of chafes. And the Gemara says there actually, we could reorganize that into 8 types of chafes. And the Gemara says, Shmai Namina chafes, Nemelo the Moshe, we say, now there are 8 types of chafes that were said to Moshe. Okay, the Kuva, Psuka, Natula, Chasura, Terua, Terus, and the Fulu, Shura. Okay, there are 8 types of chafes. Okay, and of course, these are obviously groups or classes of chafes that there are, right? They're not every single chafer. The Mishnah itself had 18 chafes. So these are groups. These are actually doesn't even say, like in the first one, the Kuva has a hole. What does it have a hole in? So it means different holes in certain places are. Not every place, not any holes make the animal chafer, but certain places, but just so it's a classification, these are the groups of chafers. And before we move on from this, just I'll mention, these are brought in, this line of the Gemara is brought in, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. And it's a question, why would the Shulchan Aruch bring this? Why would the Rambam bring this list of, that there are 8 groups? Why do we care? Why is that relevant to in the Sefer of Halacha? Sefer Halacha have listed all the many different types of chafers as there are. We understand that. Where would the whole make a chafer? And why do you want to tell me this grouping of them? So, that's an answer from Rabbi Kuber, Mordechai Kuber, his Sefer on Chulin, on chafers. And he says like this, he wants to say is, the Gemara, the Mishnah actually says, that Zachal is the rule. Anything that's wrong with the animal that will make it not live for 12 months, that's enough to make the animal, that makes the animal into a chafer. So, if you read that rule, you would think, anything, literally anything that makes the animal not live for 12 months makes it a trefa. Well, in fact, the Shacharach and the Rambam both have the same thing. There are all kinds of problems that animals can have that don't make them a trefa. Okay? They don't make them a trefa at all. They can't live for 12 months, but they're not considered a trefa. So maybe that's the reason why he wants to say that. Maybe that's the reason why we have to say this rule, which is to say is, like an animal ate poison, that animal's going to die. That animal's not a trefa. So we have to say this is a rule that it has to fit into one of these categories. An animal that ate poison is not a nakuva, pasuka, nakuva, none of these cases. There's none of these groups. So we have two parts. We have a rule that has to not live for 12 months and has to fit into one of these 8 categories in order to be considered a trefa. Okay, so let's go. So we have these 8 groupings. We have these 8 groupings of animals, of types of trefas that there are. And there are, of course, many more. I told you the Mishnah says 18 of them. The Rambam says towards the end of the Vilchos Trefas, he says, I told you all these types of trefas are, and I'm going to tell you, you should know is, if you count them all up, you will see that there are 70 altogether. Okay? The Prima Gadol organizes those 70. The Rambam didn't give you a list of all 70 of them. The Prima Gadol reorganizes them into groups, and the Prima Gadol actually tells you that there may be more than 70. He has a few more, some people hold this a few less, but the Rambam has his list of 70. Okay, and you see here that the way the Prima Gadol organizes them. And each one of these groups, Nukuba has dozens that belong to them, Psuka has a few, and Natura, and Chasura, and Karu, each one of them has many that fit into until if you count them all up, you'll see that there are 70 cases at the Rambam list. Again, this is the listing, not the way the Rambam says it, the way the Prima Gadol reworks that. Okay, so we have 70 types of chafes. Okay, now, we know, that there's only one type of chafes that everybody checks, no matter what, no matter where, in every place, in every country, at any time, and that is we check the lungs. Everybody knows that that's the chafes that is checked for. Now, there are other chafes that are checked on occasion, like, for example, we mentioned that Uruguay, nowadays in Uruguay, you need to check the carcass of the animal because they have a specific issue why they have to check them. Okay, that's fine. But by and large, the only thing that across the board everybody checks is lungs. We're talking about animals. In birds, that's not true. But in animals, the only thing that across the board everybody checks is lungs. And the question is, why? If there are 70 types of chafers, there are 70 things that can go wrong with the animal that make it into a chafer, why is it only one that everybody checks for? Again, there are in different times and places we check for other ones, but there's one that across the board, no matter what, no matter where, everybody checks for this one chafes, and that's a chafes one. So what's the reason why that's the one that everyone checks for? So the answer is well known from a Rashba, and the Rashba says this. He says, as an introduction to what he says, is the reason why we don't check for most chafes is because is we have a rule that Roy Behemoth are the chazaka of not being a trefa, and therefore we follow the roiv and assume that the animal is not a trefa. In fact, that roiv is so real, it even applies to lungs. That's the truth. It really, midrash, applies to lungs also. And for that reason, we drink milk and we eat cheese, meaning we eat eggs from birds. We drink the milk from a cow. If the animal would be a trefa, we couldn't drink its milk. We couldn't eat its cheese. So how do we drink milk without knowing whether the animal is a trefa or not? The answer is because we follow the roiv. Roiv behemoths are not trefas, and therefore we're allowed to assume the animal is not a trefa. In fact, we once spoke about it on a different occasion. Is that true nowadays? It doesn't seem like that. If you go into a slaughterhouse, it doesn't seem like most of the animals are non-trefas. Okay, but that's not for today's discussion. So we see that we rely on that. We rely on that even for the lungs. So that even strengthens our question now. We understand why we don't check all the other trefas, but why do we check lungs? What's going on over here? So the Rashba says two main answers. The first one is, it's matzu, it's common, reasonably common, for animals to have sirchas in their lungs, and therefore, midrabanan, you're not mechuyav to check, but midrabanan, you have to check for that, something that's matzu, something that's common. So, and then, for example, other things become matzu at different times, like the carrots in Uruguay, then we have to check for that also. Okay. And when we learned Hilchos Talon, we spoke about what does that mean? What is matzu? How do you define matzu and this and that? But for now, we accept Rashba that says this, the Rashba says this, that it's matzu to have sirchas in the lungs, and therefore we have to check for that. The second answer is that even if it wouldn't be matzah, when something is easy and relatively easy, while you're, butchering the animal, the lungs are right there in front of you, so it's easy to check them. So if a person would not look and see if there's a sirchah there, it's as if he doesn't care. He says, near kamal mayim in the isser, it's as if he doesn't care that he's sure. There's an isser right in front of you. You could tell whether what you're eating is kosher or trade. So you shouldn't, if you just rely on the roiv, that shows a certain callousness to the isser, and therefore a person needs to check them. So, for example, if there are other things that are easy to check, well, we'll see. If there are other things, like now that we check certain parts of the stomach, so it's right there in front of you. How could you let it go by and not check it? So we check those things also. Okay, so those are Rashba's two answers. So I'll mention that Prima Gavim, what I said to you, where I said to you the two answers, is the way the Rashba says it in the Taras Abayis. But Prima Gavim says, but if you look in the Chidushim on Chul and on the Tes, there, the Rashba starts to say these two answers, and he says first the answer of it being matzui, and since it's matzui, that's why you have to check for sirchas and lungs. And the Rashba says, no, that can't possibly be true. It can't be matzui to have sirchas in a lung. He says, you know why? Because if it's matzui to have sirchas in a lung, then why don't we just look for sirchas? Why don't we look for holes also? Meaning, we look for sirchas, that we do, they feel around, and we're going to talk about it next time, exactly what they have to do to look for sirchas and lungs. How do you find a sircha in a lung? How do you look for it? But he says, why don't you look for holes also? Okay, now, and again, nowadays we actually make do, that is, we just look for lungs, but the Rashba didn't do that. So he says, so why don't we look for that? So it must be, it's not matzi. If the reason why we're looking is because it's matzi, then it must be, then why aren't we looking for holes also? So the Rashba says, that's not the right answer, it's not matzi. He says, the reason we have to do it, he has a whole new answer that many people have never heard of before. And he says, the whole new answer, the reason why you check sirchas is because what will happen if you take these lungs and the animal's kosher and you sell it and you break it up and you sell it to, 50 people in town, and one person buys the lungs to eat and he eats the lungs and he finds the sircha. He sees it while he's there cooking, he sees the sircha. So now all of a sudden he's going to realize that the animal's trafe. It's a kind of a trafus that a person might notice at home. Oh my gosh, he's going to notice that it's home. Now it's going to call the whole to-do in town of who has from that animal, and some people will accept it, or they won't accept the ruling, and and all kinds of to-do. So therefore, Chazal said, let's get rid of this problem of sirchas, which people might notice when they're eating at home, and let's get rid of it. We want to avoid problems down the road. Let's make sure that they didn't have that problem. So the Prima Gavim says, how come in Chidushin, the Rashba doesn't like the answer of matzah, and he has this question, and in Taras Abayis, and what most people do know is, he says, yes, it's matzah, and that's why we have to check it. So what Prima Gadol wants to say is, in Chidushim, he was going in the sheet of Rashi. In the sheet of Rashi, a sircha is a sign that there's a hole. There is a hole there. So that means is, if it's motzui to have sirchas, that means is it's also motzui to have holes. Right? Because sirchas are the byproduct of a hole. The sirchas come after the holes. So if there are sirchas, that means that there are holes. Now, sometimes the sircha covers it, and sometimes there's no covering. He says, so, if it's motzui, you should have to check for holes. So according to that's a question in the, within the sheet of Rashi. He says, but in Torah Sabayis, he was passing like Tosis. In Tosis, a sircha is not a sign of a hole. A sircha is a sign that there will be, in the future there's going to be a hole. So for now, there's no hole. So maybe sirchas are motzi, but holes are not motzi. So therefore we check for sirchas, we don't check for holes. Okay. Anyhow, so that I mentioned before, I'll say that's an example of how Poiskim talk about this Machlokes Rashi and Tosis. It comes up in many different forms of where Rashi and Tosis fit in, where Rashi and Tosis potentially fit in to this, to the, all kinds of discussions about Hilchos Treifos and checking lungs. Okay, so just before we end, I just want to mention like this. As I keep saying, sirchas and lungs is the most common treifos that we find, the most common treifos that people have to look for. It's standard for every bedik of every animal. We're going to speak about that this time, for the next two times actually, about sirchas and lungs, okay, because that's the main thing that goes on when a person needs to check an animal to see if it's a treifos. Afterwards, we'll talk about specifically the treifos that are found in birds and chickens and birds nowadays. And those have two very specific ones of the 70 that are listed: Nekuvos Hadaken, holes in the intestines, and Nitatzum Sagidin. The Tzum Sagidin is something in the legs that has to be checked for. Okay, but the truth is, of the 70 treifos that are listed in Rambam, the truth is about a quarter of them we've already mentioned at some time in the past, or we'll be talking about coming in the future. So the truth is that of those 70, it's not like the only one that ever gets looked at is the lungs, sirchas in the lungs. But the truth is, there are many other things that get looked at that we've talked about or that on occasion or here and there come up as a shayla that need to be considered.